that you have no need that any man teach you. Here in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested as the one who judges the bride of Christ. And what you find here is the Ancient of Days that Daniel talks about in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. In plainer words, he is now exalted at the right hand of the Father. There is none higher than him, none greater, none more holy, none more righteous. The man, Christ Jesus, the God-man that lived for 33 years on this earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, is now Almighty God at the right hand of Almighty God. The throne of God will soon be merged with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and we shall see him as he is. But for the time being, he makes himself known to the church as the one that judges them. My folks, this morning, I want you to understand something. If we ever lose sight of the fact that we're here because of Christ, we've lost our compass. We know not what we're about. If we ever lose sight of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything there possibly could be, has been, or ever will be, we've lost our understanding of who we are. The Bible is about Christ. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." 66 books of Holy Writ, 39 Old Testament books, 27 new, tell us the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in historical context, but in typology and in the fact that he was here 2,000 years ago, walking among men. There is none like him. Never has been, never will be. He's one of a kind. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Bible said he's the desire of all the nations. So if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything and all there is, you must surely believe with me this morning that he is the answer to all your problems. There is nothing that would ever come upon a man that the Lord Jesus Christ is not capably, fully, completely able to take care of everything that you could possibly need. It's not so much what he does for us. My friends, he's capable of doing anything. It's what he is to us. You need to understand the difference in what that means. He has made to me everything that I could possibly be. So therefore, it is my responsibility as a preacher of the Word of God to show you who Christ is from the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. It is his book. It is his book written by him about himself. So my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that I could possibly need. The great mistake they make today among people is to try to say, what do you need? They run surveys in the community and say, what do you feel like you need? And so an unsaved man takes a self-assessment, and then he's going to reply to you what all he needs. Hogwash! You don't know what you need. But when you're born again by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God makes Christ more real in you as every day passes by. It is Christ that you need, not stuff. It is Christ that you need, not talking about him, but him. And the Bible is written to make him real to your soul. There is nothing on this earth like the power of the Holy Spirit of God taking the written word of God and applying it to the soul of a human being. There is nothing like that. And therefore you can know Christ and know him fully and completely. So the Bible says to the two on the road to Damascus, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. There are no doubt a lot of people on this earth who are fully convinced and fully assured that they have eternal life, but they don't have a clue who the Lord Jesus Christ is. To know him is to know life. To not know him is to not have life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me." He is the door to heaven. He is the way of God. He is the fairest to my soul of all that there could possibly be. The Gospel of John is written by the same man who wrote Revelation. And when he wrote the book of Revelation, he wrote it as God showed him the future. He wrote the book of John as he showed him the man, Christ Jesus, when he was here 2,000 years ago. The churches today are full of people that come for an experience, a feeling. They want to come into the church house and feel good. They hear a lot of messages about relating to each other and relating to this and all kinds of man-made, made-up nothing about feeling something. And so therefore the services are focused toward the music program is going to make you feel a certain way. This message is going to make you feel a certain way. But my friend, it's not about how you feel. It's not about that. It's about Christ. It's about whether He has been made real to your soul. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I can't do that. I can give forth words. I can preach. I can do what God's called me to do. But I am completely, totally dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. To take what I've said and make it real in your soul. And when He does, He takes Christ in all His beauty. He takes Him in all His glory. He takes Him in all His power. He takes Him in all that He is to us. And the Holy Spirit of God begins to give Him life within your soul. And the more of Christ you know, the more of life you know. The more of Christ that comes alive inside you, the more you realize who you are and what you're here for. Folks, let me tell you as plainly as I know how. It's not about this building. It's not about the Baptist. It's not about Preacher Lawson. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all there ever was. He's all there is. And He's all there ever will be. So my friend, John's gospel gives you the I Ams. Over and over again, John writes about the I Ams. What is the I Am? Well, in Greek it's ego eimi. And I know that doesn't mean much to you as an Englishman, but the word ego eimi, it's the emphatic saying, I am that I am. I am who I am. And it's another way of saying, I am everything you need. I am the one that you've been searching for. I am the answer to all your questions. I am the one that will supply every single need that you have. For I am the supply of your need. I am the door to heaven. I am the one that touches the face of God. I am the one that can communicate with that eternal almighty being that dwells between the cherubim. I am the one that is as near to you as the breath that comes out of your body. I am the one that can answer your prayers. I am the one that puts food on your table and clothes on your back. I am the one that keeps you alive day in and day out. 55 years ago, Marjorie Browning was told that she didn't have much time to live. They told her that in San Francisco. She had a disease in her bones that could very well have affected her life and cut it very short. She had someone who wanted to marry her, but in her character and the kind of character that she had, which was sterling, she said to this man, it won't be fair to you if I marry you. We have children and then I'm taken out of the world and I won't be here to raise the children. So Marjorie Browning said to him 55 years ago, I won't be around long. The doctors have already told me, and so I'll have to turn my life over to God. That was 55 years ago. She turned her life over to God. She answered the call to the mission field. She went what was burning in her heart and in her soul. God said, I want you to go and I want you to take the word of God to those that have never heard it. 55 years later, Marjorie Browning was still alive. She was alive when the doctors had given her a death sentence. You see, my dear friend, some have never learned the lesson. I live and I move and I have my being in Him. If I'm alive tomorrow, it's because of the hand of the Almighty that's been put upon my soul. I live in God. I move in God. I have my being in Him. And that's the way it ought to be. For He is the source of my life. And He's the source of your life. The doctor may have given you a death sentence. Man told me a few months back, Brother Campbell that lives over in North Carolina. Howard Campbell. He said, Preacher, he said, I had open heart surgery. The doctors only gave me a few weeks to live. Said, we're not going to be able to do anything for you. Your heart's dying. There's nothing we can do. That was years ago. As a matter of fact, well over about, I think, 10, 15 years ago. And he's still plugging right along and doing just fine. Why, Preacher? Because he got on his face. He cried out to God. He cried out to the source of life, to the one that gives us life. And God that gives us life gives me life and you life, and I live by Him or I die without Him. So if you see your brother sinning a sin unto death, don't pray for him, because you can sin a sin unto death. I don't know that that's any particular sin. I believe it's a state of being. I believe it's something that happens to the soul of a man when God has pleaded with him and pleaded with him and pleaded with him, and he says no to God, no to God, no to God, and the Holy Ghost of God withdraws from him and his days from henceforth are numbered. If I say that to you this morning, I say it with all my heart. You want to live? Get on your face and cry out to God. Turn your life over to him. Trust your future to him. Do you want to live? Then you better come to the source of life. You better come to the light. For my friend, don't trust this world or what you can get from this world to keep you alive. You better cry out to the one who has life, is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for something that you don't know what you're hungry for? It's Jesus that you're hungry for. In John chapter number 8 in verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. You may try every religion there is, every philosophy and psychology. You may have everything man can pump into your brain, but you're stumbling in darkness till you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who, my friend, doesn't have to lead you to the light. He is the light. Once you take the Son of God into your soul, the light will shine on you like a blazing sun. Amen. In John chapter number 8, verse 28, when they came to get him, he said, you shall know that I am he. He's the I am of the book of Exodus. What does that mean? I am the eternal one. I am the self-existing one. I am the sovereign of the universe. I am the Lord God Almighty. There's only one that can make a statement like that. Any other person say that, they're a fool and they're a blasphemer. For somebody to arrogantly affirm that they are this or they are, you're nothing. I'm nothing. But he is everything. And when he says, I am that I am, he says, I don't need you. I literally exist because I exist. I have existed from eternity. I will exist into eternity. Let me tell you this morning, I want to go with him into eternity. This little creature that was raised up from a dunghill, that was raised up from the dirt, that Almighty God put his spirit in my soul, I want to go into eternity with him. Amen and amen. And the book of John chapter number 8 and verse 58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. John chapter number 10 and verse 7, he said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, there is no other door. You say, on a preacher, I believe that we should coexist, that we should be respectful of other men and other religions. You can respect a man for being a human being. You can be civil with anyone, and you should be. You should show them Christian love and compassion. You should feed people regardless of what their color is, regardless of what their status in life. It makes no, I don't ask somebody what they believe or what they are. If they've got a hungry belly, feed them. If you can help them, help them. But let me tell you something this morning. There's just one door into heaven. And that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one way. Just one way. Just a few days ago in Iraq, those murdering Muslims over there, this ISIS group, had gathered these little girls together. And they said to them, you may either convert to Islam or we're going to kill you. Little girls that belong to the Orthodox Church in Iraq. Little children. Do you know what they said? They said, we're not going to give up Jesus. We love Jesus. We've known Jesus all our lives, and we're not going to give him up. And they killed them and cut their heads off, and they joined the throng of the martyrs that you'll meet one day in heaven. They don't worship like you do. They've got a different polity than you have. But don't you doubt for a minute, my friend, that by the tens of thousands and by the hundreds of thousands, there are many of them over there that know him and know him well. If they're willing to give up their life knowing they're about to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not about to question their fidelity to the Son of God. Back during the time of Boris Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin was one of the rulers of Russia. Back during that time, an 18-year-old Russian soldier had been put on a post. Has no real training, no weapons or anything. He's overrun by the Chechens. The Chechens are Muslims. They took this 18-year-old and they set him out with a couple more with him. And he had this cross hanging around his neck. And here the cross is prominent. And they said to him, they said that if you will deny that cross, if you'll deny Christ, You can become one of us and you can live the rest of your life on this earth. It took him a little while thinking about, how am I going to live as a traitor? Could I really live if I denied the Lord Jesus Christ? And my friend, he said back to them, no, I'm not about to deny him. I've known him and he's my Savior, and I'm not taking my cross off and I'm not denying him. And so they killed him and he joined the throng of the martyrs. One day you'll meet the little girls that died in Iraq. One day you'll meet the Russian soldier. Make no mistake about it, friend. God's got his people all over this globe. Everywhere they name the name of Christ, and they're willing to die for him. And at this very moment, while I'm preaching to you this morning, they are dying for him. They're giving their life's blood for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, my friend, has taken note. Oh, yes. He belonged to the Russian Orthodox Church. These are Orthodox Christians we're talking about. I've heard arrogant Baptists rear back in the pulpit in their arrogant ignorance and say, bless God, if you're not a member of our Baptist church and this and that, you ain't going to heaven. You're a fool, man. You got no sense at all. You don't know what you're talking about. You're blathering from the mouth. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of where you came from, your culture, or whatever it is, or whatever time it is, you know him, you're going to heaven. And a lot of people are going to meet people up there in heaven they don't expect to see there. I expect to see that Russian soldier, 18 years old, and I expect to see those little teenage girls, and some of them younger than that, that gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked at a photograph of a man yesterday that had his little girl in his hands, one of the most heart-wrenching things you'd ever seen in your life. And it kind of shocking because I wasn't expecting to see it. I was researching something else, and this photograph just jumped up, and the whole back of her head was gone. All gone. And he's holding her in his hands, and his mouth is wide open, and he's in grief, and he's crying out to Almighty God. The suffering that's going on in this world right now is unbelievable. You know what went on in France. You know what's going on in Syria. You know what's going on in Iraq. You know how they're dying right now. You know what's going on in Africa at the hands of Boko Haram. My friend, they're killers, they're murderers, and they're killing people right and left. Somewhere, someday, somewhere along the line, that crowd up there in Washington, D.C. is going to have to wake up and find out what's happening in this world. They know what's going on. They're not going to wake up. I believe that the seat of government in this country is in the lap of the Antichrist. If you ever imagine, you can know it now. They are sucked right in. And that's what I'm bringing you to next. We are right on the verge of the Antichrist stepping forth. He's coming, folks. The mantle of deception is descending down on America. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We talked about how that the emerging church movement is accepting and embracing sodomy. We talked about how a Presbyterian pastor here in Knoxville, because of the Presbyterian Church USA, the national organization, has now embraced so-called same-sex marriage. And it came to his church, and his church had to make a decision, and his church decided to accept the Presbyterian Church of the USA's decision to embrace sodomy. This pastor resigned, said, I'll have no part in it. God bless him. When I continued reading the article, he's already got another church with 300 and something people in it that I have no connection whatsoever with the Presbyterian Church USA in America. An apostate is an apostate, is a godless apostate. That's not love, friend. Love is to get you out of the hell you're in. Love is to save you from your sins. That thing leads to nothing but death, and the rest of anything that is sin leads to death. You don't love somebody by condoning something that's destroying them. You love them if you tell them the truth and get them out of it. And Christ Jesus came into the world, the Apostle Paul just said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. You're not loving somebody. Don't give me that blather. Don't talk to me like that. You love somebody when you want to help them. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Have you ever watched anybody die from AIDS? Have you ever watched the last few days and hours of their life in AIDS? In Africa, they call it SLIM. It's one of the most horrendous deaths there is. You literally waste away on your frame and your body, your organs literally begin to convulse, die. It's a horrible death. And where did AIDS come from? Doctors first diagnosed it when it showed up years ago as GRID. That's what they called it. Of course, they weren't politically correct back then. The physician simply called it what he saw. He said it is gay-related immunodeficiency. And they were dying. Then it had to become it had to become politically correct. Lord help if we ever pick anybody out in this country. Of course, you can pick Christians out. You can tell people that Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene had children. And that's the kind of garbage that's going out into church houses right now. Brown writes books on it and makes millions. And you've got all this garbage that people are lapping up like the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene had children. That's blasphemy. You don't know how angry I get when I read that. But I don't go out and kill anybody. And the reason we don't go kill anybody is because we're Christians. God taught us to love people, forgive people, help people, and preach the truth to people. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to go kill you if you take an image of Christ and put it in a bottle of urine. And they do that. We're not going to kill you if you call the Lord Jesus Christ every ungodly name that you possibly can. Do you realize what that group over there in Paris, France did? This Charlie, what's that thing they're called? You know what I'm talking about. The eight of them that were executed by the Muslims. They made a cartoon depiction of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They laid into Christians, they laid into Jews, they laid into Muslims. It didn't matter to them. I at least give them credit for that. They didn't bother them. Whoever you were, they're going to produce their magazine of satire. But they took the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they did one of the vilest things you could possibly imagine. And you'll never hear it come out of my mouth from this pulpit. What they published in their magazine depicting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is doing. But they had the gall to do that. And they published it in France. Well, my friend, nobody killed him. Nobody cut their head off. Nobody went in there and massacred him. Although it enraged, no doubt in my mind, when I read about it, I didn't even look at it. I couldn't stand to look at it. Well, just reading about it was enough. It enraged my soul. But we didn't go over there and kill him. We didn't shoot them. We didn't cut their heads off. We pray for them. Yeah. That's what you do as a Christian. You pray for them. There's the difference between the Church of God and these people we're talking about this morning. There's a vast difference. Once you've been born again, you're raised to a higher standard. Once you've been born again, you've got light and you live by that light. Once you're born again, you should have some love coming forth from you. And just because you show them love doesn't mean you condone what they do. You get mixed up with that. The fallen mind gets mixed up with it. You show them love, but it doesn't mean I'm condoning what they do. Did you get that? That's important. Show them love, but you don't condone what they're doing. And so it was that just a few days ago, they went over there and they shot to death 12 people in Paris, France. And then they had another incident that happened a little later than that, and I think 4 more people died. And so now something like 16, 17 people have died in France. Today in Paris, France, they're expecting over 1 million people, 1 million, over 1 million, together in protest to what's happening in their country. There are places in Paris, France that are called no-go zones. What is a no-go zone? A no-go zone is where even the police are not allowed to go in. That they police their own people. They live under Sharia law. In plainer words, they have a country within a country. And Paris is one of France probably has more Muslim occupants than any other European country. And they've got this stuff brewing in their backyard. And now the people of France, over 1 million strong, have risen up and said, enough is enough. This is not going to work. Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ put his church here 2,000 years ago. We've been in here a long time. You talk to some of these intellectuals and they want to say to you, Christians have killed just as many people as the Muslims have. They want to drag you into an argument about something like that. A lot of people that call themselves Christians have done an awful lot of things in the past that have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing whatsoever. But anybody that believes anything, that's doing anything, I don't care how filthy, I don't care how low down, I don't care how sorry they are, they're welcome to walk through those doors. Do you know why? When the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, he went and preached to them and made no difference. I know the power of God. I know what it can do. I know what it can do for them. There is more power in his word than there is in them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm not afraid of the power of God. If you don't know the Lord, you ought to be afraid of the power of God for what God Almighty can do for you and to you. Do you realize, folks, that if God wants to, He can smite you dead in your tracks and the maggots will eat you before your body hits the ground, like it did with Herod in the book of Acts. That's exactly right. You know, sometimes I get on my face and I begin to pray. And the other night I got on my face and I began to pray to God and I thought to myself, man, I'm not even a speck. I'm not even as big as a grain of sand in this huge creation that God's made. Oh my, His greatness, His glory, His power, His majesty just began to overwhelm me. And I started to tremble. I said, Lord, thank You that I know You, that I'm saved. For You could wipe me from the face of the earth in a heartbeat. I wouldn't last a split second. I'm by the grace of God, I'm alive to this morning. Hallelujah! I'm here because of God's goodness and because of His mercy. How about you? How about you? Not by my own hand, but by His. And I give Him glory. I give Him praise. I give Him honor. Church is today about a feeling. Listen to what one of the great teachers and preachers of the churches today has to say. Listen to this. The other thread of just criticism addresses the suggestion implicit in the cross that Jesus' sacrifice was to appease an angry God. Penal substitution was the name of this vile doctrine. Let me word it a different way. He's talking about the vicarious suffering and death of Christ. That God was in Christ reconciling the world into Himself. 2 Corinthians 5. What does that mean, preacher? All through the Old Testament, God's an angry God. He's angry with the wicked every day. Why, preacher? Because no sacrifice has been made for their sin. He sees it in all of its ugliness, in all of its vileness. So God, in Christ, at the cross at Calvary, made peace with mankind. He reconciled Himself unto men. The vicarious suffering of Christ is one of the most beautiful things in the Bible. It's God no longer angry with men. It is God extending an olive branch saying, I've made peace with you. Now accept My peace and we can have peace together. But He calls it a vile doctrine. He said, it's vile. This man gets up in front of people week in and week out, sits on his stool and talks to them about how good they are, how beautiful they are, how wonderful life is about, how that we should embrace everybody because God is in everything and everywhere. We don't need to be saved, he says. It's all about understanding the greatness and the God that's within us and all of this blah, 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 blah garbage that he gives out to people and they lap it up. And why do they lap it up? Because they don't know anything about the Scripture. Let me tell you something. God's not angry with me this morning and He's not angry with you. Christ Jesus has all judgment given to His hands. He said, He hath given me all judgment to the Son of God. And the Son of God one day is going to judge all of mankind. The great white throne judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema in 1 Corinthians, is when He judges His bride. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all humanity. I'm so glad, thank God, that He's merciful and gracious. But remember this, this is so important. God does not accept you because you decide that you want peace and you want grace, graciousness and mercy being merciful. God accepts you because of what Christ did for you. Therefore, He accepted Christ. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He never accepts any man's person on his own person. He accepted the Son. And when He accepted the Son, He accepted everybody that would be in the Son. That's you, that's me. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. A vile doctrine, Brother Lee. The vicarious suffering of Christ. I'm glad that the Old Testament God, Jehovah, holy, 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 His eyes are so holy, He cannot look upon sin. I am glad that He extended the olive branch through Christ. He's no longer angry. He's no longer angry. If you're preaching an angry Old Testament God, you are so far out of the dispensation and understanding the Scripture as you can be. Go back and read your Bible again. God now has been appeased. The atonement has been made. Now the issue is no longer between you and the Father. The issue is now between you and the Son. What will you do with my son? What have you done with him? What have you done? Well, I'm going to close with this. 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar was worshipped as a god. His son that he adopted, Octavian, became Augustus Caesar. Augustus Caesar was the first Roman emperor. Julius Caesar reigned over a republic. Augustus reigned over an empire. Augustus Caesar was the one in power when Christ was born. The days of Augustus Caesar. They went out of a decree that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Julius, Caesar Augustus, both had temples built to them. They were literally deified. Caesar, Julius Caesar was deified after he died. Augustus Caesar was deified during his lifetime. And people would worship Augustus Caesar as a god. Christians refused. Jews refused. They're not going to worship any man walking on this earth. They're not going to accept that who calls himself God. Christians refused. Jews refused. They paid dearly for it. Many martyrs of our brothers and sisters in Christ died because they refused emperor worship. But emperor worship was from Rome. 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had an image and a vision and a dream. An image had a head of gold, chest of silver, midsection of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. Daniel interpreted that vision for him and said, Nebuchadnezzar, thou art that head of gold. So the head of gold was Babylon. The chest was Medo-Persia. The midsection was Greece. And then the legs were Rome. But the legs terminated in a strange way. The iron legs terminated in feet of iron mixed with clay. You and I both know iron and clay do not mix. Just like oil and water do not mix. Iron and clay is therefore a symbolic thing of something spiritual that's deeply spiritual, that's bad. Because what it's saying to you is that the Gentile kingdoms that started in 606 BC will culminate in a demonic mixture where it mixes itself with humanity. And this image therefore becomes a type of the worship of the last days. That worship's here when people worship a man. The New Age movement, the stuff I'm talking about, the emergent church and all of this, has reached the point to where they are deifying a man. Now, you don't have to think long and hard to think about Mr. Obama, who became the president of this country, how they were drawing halos around his head, how they had rainbows around him, and how people were worshiping him. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist. He's the president of the United States. But what I'm saying is it gives you the mindset of people. It shows you how quickly people will worship a man. And that man, my dear friend, according to Revelation chapter number 13, is the Antichrist. And the music and the churches and the prophecy and all of it is coming together for the Antichrist. You've seen the story of the little boy that's got his finger in the dike over in Holland. And as long as he keeps his finger in that dike, then he saves his people. But if he pulls his finger out of that dike, then all of a sudden it explodes and everybody's drowned. Well, there was a dam that busted here in the United States, more than one, I'm sure. Jonestown was one. I remember it had been about 100 years or so ago. And when that dam broke, it literally came down through a valley, folks, and it washed homes and people. It was horrible. It was horrible. It just washed them down through there. And they died. Many people died. In other words, the dam just broke. That's what's going to happen. He that letteth will let. He's got his finger in the hole until he be taken out of the way. And if you're smart this morning, you see all the signs converging. And then all of a sudden, and that's how it's going to come. You need to be ready. Are you ready? So how do you get ready, preacher? A person. Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. There is no other name greater than that name. Oh, you should have heard my sister sing that song the other night. Jesus, I love you. I love thy name. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Do you love Jesus? Do you love his name? Father, in thy name we pray. For thy sake I pray. That thy name be glorified. Help us this morning. Thank you for being with me and standing with me. You never fail me. You never have. You never will. It's impossible for you to fail me. Can't do it. And I pray for the folks who've heard the word, folks on the internet who've heard it, folks who will hear it later on tapes and CDs. Bless your word now to their heart. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up this morning.